The Holy Spirit is hovering over this place this morning to light on anybody that wants more of him. And Myrna is going to come. She came to our church in 1972 in Springfield, introduced me to the baptism and gifts of the Holy Spirit, among other things. She was a teacher when God got a hold of her, and she's still a teacher. So if you'd like to learn, open your ears. I could exaggerate, but I'm trying to think, what could I say that would exaggerate what to expect? So expect something great. Expect God to speak to you. Myrna, why don't you just come? She comes in a small package, but she's got the goods.
Good morning. You heard this big sigh when he got up here. I thought he was just going to say, oh, me. You have to bear with her a little longer. All right. I came, how long ago? A month ago, right? And talked just a little bit about, I am an Episcopal priest, and God didn't hold that against me. And so I told you a little bit about my background, and what I'd like to do is just encourage each and every one of us to grow in God and grow in grace. So I'm going to start with a couple of readings from the scripture. Hosea 10:12 says, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. We've kind of heard that already from other people who have spoken. Now I'm going to go to Luke chapter 24. And behold, two of them, and it's disciples, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were blinded that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not know the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all these things, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our community made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of an angel, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went into the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but they saw not him. When he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scripture and the thing concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he set meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he walked with us by the way, and while he opened the scriptures? Father God, as we just bow before thy throne of grace, we thank you, Lord, for knowing you as our personal Savior. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and will do. Father, I just pray that you would come and speak truth through this body. And Lord, that you would just open up our hearts and minds and help us to see and be drawn ever closer to you. For all this we ask in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now let me see if I can tie some of the two scriptures together. It's an amazing thing that when we look at Luke, these people were disciples, not the 12 apostles, but they were disciples. They knew him. They heard what he was talking about. They probably saw miracles that he did. And yet, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, even though he said to them, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to go in and the scribes and the Pharisees are going to berate me. And I'm going to be whipped and bruised. And they're going to say all manner of ill things about me. And I'm going to die. And on the third day, I'm going to get up again. He'd already told them that. They're his disciples. And now here they are on their way to Emmaus. And he comes along beside them, and they don't know him. They don't know him. And what are they doing? He said, what are you talking about? Why are you so downcast? Why are you so sad? And they said, well, don't you know why? Don't you know why? Are you a stranger to Jerusalem? Don't you know that this man called Jesus? And this is an amazing thing. This man called Jesus, who we thought was our Messiah. That's past tense, which means they no longer believe that. All of their hopes and dreams was nailed to a cross. We thought. And he was crucified. I've been a devout Episcopalian for many, 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 many years. And I came very faithfully to church. I also paid my tithes. Of course, we were threatened. I paid my tithes. I did all that I knew to do. I came to church, and somehow or another, I thought that if I came to church, then I would be saved, right? I listened to the scripture being read in the tradition of the Episcopal Church. We read something from the Old Testament, a psalm, the epistles and the gospel. And the priest talks about something afterwards. Did I read scripture? No. Part of my tithes was to have them read and know the scripture and tell me how to believe. I went to church. If you ask me, why do you go to church? And I said, because somehow or another, there's something on the inside of me. I want to serve God. I want to serve God. And how can I know him? I'm sure that the church didn't teach this, but somehow or another, I got a little confused between the Lord Jesus Christ and Santa Claus. I thought he had a list, and he was checking it twice, and he was going to find out who was naughty and nice. And I always thought, whoa, boy, do I have to do a lot of good things to cover up what I just did. You know what I'm saying? And I remember that somehow or another, I thought that there was someday, if I made it up there, I would meet a man called Jesus. I always came. I made cheese sandwiches every time the bishop came. I helped to clean the church. I was always there on the days when they had work groups in the church. I taught catechism. I taught children how to be a better Episcopalian. I really believed deep down inside that somehow or another, if I just kept at it, the church was going to save me. Did you hear what I said? The church was going to save me. And I knew the church had a big responsibility. Because if I were God, there was times when I wouldn't have saved me. I remember the first scripture I read about breaking up the fallow ground? You see, your fallow ground is your heart. That's what needs to be touched, is your heart. It isn't your head. It's your heart. You have to know him in your heart. You have to invite him in. He stands at the door and knocks, and he comes into your heart. I was a good Episcopalian, and I was just as lost as some other people who come to church faithfully and don't know the Lord as their Savior. My older brother was a renegade. He married an Episcopal gal. And he quit going to church. See, that was another thing on my good list. I prayed for him always to come back to church. To come back to church. And somehow or another, even though my sister-in-law was a wonderful person, I knew she wasn't real, but she was a wonderful person because she was always happy. And, you know, and I'd smile at her and say, you hypocrite. because they went through some hard times, and I never saw her down. And I thought, she must have get up in the morning and paint a smile on her face because she was always happy and going through some horrible things with her sister that had to have dialysis and died, and her mother that had a heart attack and was disabled. And she wasn't, that was tragic things. And especially with her sister, was younger than she was. And I thought, how can you be so happy? Well, Grant allowed her to go to the church of her choice. Wasn't that nice of him? Of course, he wouldn't have stopped her whether he didn't approve or not. Because one part of the reason she was happy is because she chose the church to go to and went. And so, but he says, I don't want any of your holy roller stuff. And of course, you can't say that to a person who doesn't go to a church to be saved, but they go to church because they are saved and go to have communion with the body of Christ. Do you know what I'm saying? There's a difference. One day when he was ill, sitting at home, he picked up her Bible, and he was really kind of upset with something that she had done, because she came home and said, I've pledged such and such to the church. And he said, we're not going to pay it. And she said, I said, I pledged to the church and we are going to pay it. And so he was just a little upset with her. And he wasn't going to give her the money to pay what she pledged to the church, but he was upset with her. So he picked up this Bible and he was going to throw it. But it kind of opened up. And he began to read it. And the next thing you know, he was up in the living room. He was sitting in his chair, just really, really sick. He was up in his living room, dancing before the Lord with all his might. Fallow ground was going to be broke up. I came and went to see them, and I came in, and he's sitting at the kitchen table, and he turns around, and the thing that he has in his hand is a Bible. I had a Bible. Somebody gave me a Bible when I was confirmed, and it was a little white Bible, and I dusted it every 6 months and put it on the table so you'd know. You know. And he turned around and he said, are you saved? And I said, from what? Well, right there, that told you something. And then I see this Bible and I think, oh, he's still mad at Wanda. And he's making fun. Are you saved? And then he began to preach at me. Remember, he doesn't go to church. He begins to preach at me. I am the one that was going to church. I was the one that went to church every day of the week. I mean, I was working on that good list. Or maybe I had enough bad that I felt like I really had to work on that good list. And I remember what he said to me. He said, I chose a church. God told me a church to go to. Well, it just happened to be the one his wife was already going to, but when he chose it, he didn't know that. So he said, you need to come with me to church. And then he began to berate and point out the fallacies in the Episcopal Church. Can you imagine that? And so he said to me, you need to come to church. And so I said, I will go with you if you will then come with me. Well, he didn't respond, but I thought surely he would. So I did. I went to a Pentecostal church. Do anybody know anything about the Episcopal or the Roman Catholic Church, the Anglican Catholic Church? You know anything? Yes. We do everything decent and in order. And so I came in to this church. And everybody's greeting everyone and slapping everybody on the back. We don't do that. I mean, we come in and be still. Don't touch me. Then they sang. Now, we sang. We had an accomplice organist, and we sang. We sang, holy, holy, holy. We really got into it. Well, everybody stands up. And they had no organ. And they did have a piano. A little grace there. But they had guitars in church, tambourines, and they got up and began to sing, and they clapped their hands, carried on awful, and I kept thinking, this is church, this isn't a square dance. And people are tapping their feet. And well, I managed to get through that. And then in our tradition, you have the leader who says, let us pray. And that means you shut up and I'll pray. And you say at the end, amen. And we know how to do that because we have a book in our hands. It tells us. We're organized. And this person said, let us pray. And they did. I couldn't believe it. Everybody. And they're not going, I mean, they're praying out loud. And I thought, don't these people know? I can't even understand. I've got people on both sides behind me. Everybody's talking to God and praising God and asking for somebody to be saved. And I said, I can't even understand everything. How do you think God feels when all of us are praying aloud? Well, they prayed, and they prayed, and then they took up an offering. I thought, well, that's, I recognize that. We did that in our church. That's one thing that we had in common. And then this gentleman got up to preach. And he was really doing his best. The only problem is these people would say, amen, amen. And I think, what do you mean, amen? I don't have any book that tells me we're supposed to say amen. When he's up there, you're supposed to be still. What's this amen stuff? Someone said, preach it, brother, preach it. And I thought, if you'll just shut up, he's trying. I know he's trying. All of this was just totally out of my grasp. I prayed. I got out the prayer book and found a prayer that said kind of what I wanted to say, and I read it. I prayed. Well, I don't even know what he was saying because I was trying to, you know, I was trying to think, well, if everybody just kind of quiet down and not be so exuberant, after all, you are in church. And then afterwards, he made an altar call. And people all over got up and started going down front. And people, well, of course, my brother and sister-in-law, they got up. And it's funny, I got up with them. But I stopped. I didn't make it all the way down there. I just kind of pulled a set in front. Here's all these people down there praying and boo-hooing and carrying on. And I thought, chaos, utter chaos. All again, everybody praying out loud. One person with a very stiff back was saying, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Does anybody know what that is? Have you heard that before? Prayer of St. Francis. That's in our prayer book. And I thought, ha, there is someone who knows the Lord. And then I kind of looked down the row, and there was this cowboy, I guess, and he had in his back pocket kind of a red bandana thing, and he whipped that out, and he was blowing his nose and crying. And he was praying kind of loud, and I could hear him. And he said, God, you know what I went and done. I taught English. I wanted to get up and shake him and say, honey, you didn't went and done nothing. It's dead, not done. You know what I went and done. But Lord, you know I want to serve you. And he's crying. And something happened here. When I left that place, I said, God, I didn't want to be a Pentecostal. Hadn't got that far yet. But I said, Lord, someday, and that's the first time I prayed, not read a prayer, but prayed. I said, Lord, someday I want to know you well enough to fall on my face and say, Lord, you know what I went and done. I want to serve you. That was the beginning of the breaking up of the fallow ground. Disciples walking with Jesus, seeing the things that he did, witnessing healing. Somehow or another, when he shared the fact that he was going to be died and resurrected, it went over their heads. I can almost see these disciples standing away from the cross and seeing their dreams and their hopes nailed to a dying man and saying, we thought he was the Messiah, the Son of God. We thought their dreams, their hopes died with him on that cross. And Jesus says, why are you so sad? Well, don't you know just what happened in Jerusalem? This man that we thought had all the answers. We thought was the greatest prophet that ever walked. We thought that our Messiah had come down. We thought that we were going to be redeemed by this man. He died. Some of the women went to the tomb, said an angel, said he wasn't there, and well, they looked and he wasn't. Did you remember he was going to get raised on the third day? No, I forgot about that. And then Jesus said, don't you understand that everything from the beginning of Moses, everything that was said in Scripture, pointed to a man called Jesus who was going to come down from heaven and take on the skin of mankind and be suffer with mankind's limitations, be tempted in all points as mankind is tempted, that this man Jesus all the way through Scripture is pointing to the cross. Isaiah said, look at the anguish and the suffering on the cross. Don't you understand that the Scripture said the only way that you and I can be redeemed is through the blood of the Lamb? And it isn't the little lamb that's in the backyard. It's the Lamb of God that cometh down from heaven that taketh away the sins of the world. Don't you remember that? Everything in your Scripture doesn't teach you that. They come to the end of their journey. Nightfall, and Jesus is saying, it's been nice talking to you. And they said, oh, no, 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 why don't you wait? Why don't you wait and dine with us? And Jesus took bread. Remember earlier, celebration of the Passover? And Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread and broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which was broken for you. And likewise, after supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it unto them, saying, drink ye all of this, for this is the blood of the new covenant that was shed for you for the remission of sins. And when he broke the bread, their eyes were open, and he disappeared. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he was explaining scripture? Did not our hearts cry out that we could understand more fully? Did not our hearts say, God, we need to know you here? Did not our hearts cry out? Well, you see, Scripture tells us we speak with our mouth the things we know and we believe where? In our head? No. In our heart. In our heart. Lord, you know what I went and done, but someday I want to know you well enough to know that when I break down before you, not up there, if I make it, I don't need you, down here. Come into my heart. Because you see, I was just like that disciples. Who is Jesus? He is the Son of God, came down from heaven. What does Jesus do? He is the one who is our healer and our deliverer. He's the one who will lift us up and save us from our sin. I knew the answers in catechism, and no more could to bring your children to Christ because I didn't know him. I could give them all kinds of head knowledge, and I could teach them all things about the church. We knew when to genuflect and cross ourselves and when to stand up and when to kneel. But we didn't, or I didn't. I didn't know Jesus. And that's when I went home and opened up a Bible. Well, first I went through a lot of things. I had a heart attack and and was in the hospital, and my friendly nurse tried to kill me. It was my honey nurse. I'd had a heart attack, and she came in, was going to give me insulin. when doctors give you something, or a nurse, or you, I never ask. You know, in the good old days, you just assume they knew what they were doing. But for some reason, and she was my honey nurse. Everything was, how you feeling, honey? Do you want something to eat, honey? Do you want, you know? And so I said, what is that? And she said, it's your insulin, honey. And I said, honey, I'm not a diabetic. And she said, oh, no, I almost killed you, honey. I continued to go to an Episcopal church, drove 70 miles one direction to go to church. But I came back, and a church had opened up in where I was teaching, a storefront church. And most of my students was going to something called revival. And I went, still on one side of me saying, I want the fullness of God. On the other side, I'll die an Episcopalian, which if I'd have died then, I would have had the second death. I went to stomp out this fallacy. And I went there and stomped around and came out saved. And I know that I am. Saved. 3 days earlier, you could have said, talking about your faith, you know, what church do you go to? I'm an Episcopal. Do you know the Lord? I just said I'm an Episcopal. 3 days afterwards, what faith are you? I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. I go to the Episcopal church, but I'm a Christian. Be very, very careful always to make sure that the person that sits next to you doesn't think coming here is going to save them. Make sure they know that. Don't assume. Afterwards, I met a fellow Episcopalian, and we got to talking, and I said, you know, I still go to the Episcopal church, but I've been saved. And he said, I was just waiting for that to happen. And I said, what do you mean waiting for that to happen? If you knew Jesus, why didn't you tell me what I needed to do in order to be saved? Why did you sit there waiting? And that's what I challenge always, to make sure that the person, don't just love them. Make sure the person on either side of you really knows Jesus, and that they come and sit in a chair here to be part of the body of Christ, to be the church of believers, that they can honor the one that they serve. Help them to know that. That's the beginning of the story. And whenever you know Jesus, it just gets better. Well, occasionally it doesn't get better because we're still human. And we still have a lot of work to be done. But at least we're on the right track. So I would invite all of you to come back tomorrow night. See, what is this? As the world turns. And carry on from there. All right, shall we have a word of prayer? Father God, as we just bow before thy throne of grace, we thank you, Lord, because you loved us. Not when or if, you just loved us. And Lord, you come to us in whatever way that we need in order to hear the truth about you. And Lord, you would that none should perish. And no matter how stubborn or rebellious we are, you're there with an outstretched hand to pull us up out of the mud. Now, Father, I just do pray that if there's anyone here this day that really knows an awful lot about Jesus in their head, but haven't experienced him in their heart, Lord, just knock a little louder on that door and help them to surrender to you and invite you in as their Savior. Lord, we thank you for all that you are and all that you do. And Father God, we thank you because you loved us enough. You gave your only begotten Son. Jesus Christ, we thank you because you loved us enough that while we were yet sinners, you died in order to redeem us. Holy Spirit, we thank you because you love us enough to come to lead, guide, and direct us into all truth. Lord, help us and strengthen us and help us to grow in God and grow in grace. Amen.